From Los Angeles, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. In the news today, increased security on international flights over the New Year's holidays have turned back some flights bound for the United States. Others that landed in this country have been searched very thoroughly on the ground once they arrived. Details later today on All Things Considered. It's a little late for a Christmas story, but this one is pretty unusual. It's a survival story we found in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, even though the events occurred around here, in the destructive mudslides that hit San Bernardino, California last week. That's where a Seattle-area man, Steve Phillips, had gone on a Christmas camping trip with his family, all loaded into his truck and a pull-along trailer. This is a family that likes the outdoors. Steve is an experienced mountaineer and scuba diver. But on Christmas Day here, it rained heavily. Their San Bernardino campground went from wet to muddy to a little scary. Two creeks flooded. The campsite was starting to look dangerous. And that's where we pick up the story.
A couple that lives there year-round and had a Christmas dinner planned. And I talked to one of them in the store, the little camp store that morning, and he invited my family in for Christmas dinner. And so around 4 in the afternoon, my wife and I took everybody over to his trailer for Christmas dinner. But I returned to my trailer and my vehicle to move them to a place which I thought might be safer, because it was clearly not safe where they were. The camp had already been overflowed by water and mud at that point.
Moving the truck took much longer than he'd expected. It took hours, and it was almost midnight when he started back to that neighboring trailer and his family. It was still storming. He was soaking wet and exhausted. The trailer, the family, 50 feet away now.
And I looked up to the direction the sound was coming from, and there was a wall of water that looked to be about 12 feet high to me. You know, like two people standing on each other's shoulders sort of thing. I just dashed for a telephone pole. I didn't really think about it, but there was this pole that was maybe 20 or 30 feet from me. I thought that if I got to that, somehow it might help me, but I never made it to the pole. Before I got there, I was hit by the water, and the water had picked up trailers and was just pushing them down. And so there was a trailer that actually pushed into me and knocked me off my feet, sort of swept me off my feet and swept me along with the current.
It's like a flood has seized this trailer, and the trailer's hit you, so you're in the flood now with the trailer.
But the trailer pushing me along, right?
Yeah. And what do you do?
And the very next thing that happens is there's another trailer right there, and it pushes me up against it with my feet underneath the trailer in front of me, and my chest wedged between the two trailers, and I was trapped there. I couldn't breathe anyway because I was crushed between these two trailers, and all I was trying to do is just, I was afraid I was going to crush my chest. You know, crush my rib cage, and I was just pushing as hard as I could with my legs and my arms to prevent that from happening. And after maybe 10 seconds or something, the trailers just parted. They just separated, and then I was just pulled away by the current. It was dark. My eyes were full of sand, and I couldn't open, even if I opened my eyes when I was above water, I couldn't see anything. All I could see was sort of light and dark.
Again, the torrent swept him away. In the darkness, he felt something that might save him. He still doesn't know what, maybe a tree, maybe a pole. He held on, and then something slammed into Steve's arm, pinning him there.
I was then trapped at that point, and I was underwater most of the time at that point. But about every 20 seconds or so, I would get a breath of air, and so I just started counting. You know, I'd get a breath, and I'd count my counts, and I'd get to about 20, and I'd get another breath of air.
Okay, you're on this tree or pole or whatever it is. Then what happens?
After what seemed like a couple of minutes, about six breaths is what I remember, whatever was pinning me against the tree moved away, and it was no longer pinned. At that point, my left arm was numb. I couldn't even feel my arm anymore, and the current was still really strong.
And what are you thinking through all this?
I mean, I had a bunch of different thoughts. I thought about my family. I had my children. I didn't know what had happened to them. And I thought that maybe the trailer that they were in had been ripped open, and that my children were in the same flood that I was in. And, you know, I have three little children, 5, 3, and 8 months, and I have a niece that lives with us who's 16 years old, and my wife. And I was worried about them. And at one point I thought, you know, this is how I'm going to die, you know, on Christmas Day. But right on top of the thought that this is how I'm going to die came the thought that I'm not going to let myself die this way.
but he lost his grip on whatever he was holding. The rushing flood had him again, sometimes pulling him under, then popping him back to the surface. He couldn't see, but in the darkness he could hear an ominous growing roar like a waterfall just ahead.
And just at that moment, my boot hit something on the ground underneath me. I felt the bottom, and I pushed myself away from the noise, the loudness of the noise ahead of me and to the left. I just pushed myself to the right as fast as I could. I was able to get out, and I found myself sitting, sitting there on land with the current flowing by me.
How much time had passed since you got hit by that wall of water?
Well, I didn't have any sense of it at that time, but what people told me, between 4 and 5 minutes at that point, they believe I was carried about 2 or 2.5 miles downstream by the current.
He was safe, if you can call it that. Beaten, exhausted, half blind, alone and lost in the mountains in the middle of the night. It was cold, very cold. The ground behind him led up to a ridgeline. He started climbing until he reached the top.
You could see the freeway from where I was. I didn't know how badly I was injured. I couldn't feel my arm at all. My left arm was just, I was afraid that maybe I'd severed it somehow, or severed part of it, so the nerves were damaged. I didn't know what was wrong with it. So I thought the only chance was for me to try to walk out to the freeway. So that's what I started doing. I started working my way to the freeway. I was going toward the west down this embankment, and I got to the bottom of it, and there was a chain-link fence, of course, 5-foot-high chain-link fence between me and the freeway, and as it turned out, I had to climb that. That turned out to be a major challenge for me. But I got on the other side of the fence. It was hard for me to make the decision to climb the fence because there was water flowing between the fence and the freeway. I could hear it. I couldn't see it, but I could hear water flowing.
Wow.
And I was afraid that if I got on the other side of the fence, I didn't know how bad the water was. I didn't know if it was as bad as what I just left. I walked down to where the water was. I could hear it, and I just started wading into it. And that was very difficult because I was afraid that I would stumble into something deep because I couldn't see. And then I scrambled up to the freeway. I couldn't walk up that embankment going up to the freeway at that point. I was too weak. So I crawled on my hands and knees, basically.
A passing car picked him up and took him to the cluster of rescue vehicles and workers by a road that led up the mountain. They were able to tell him that his family was safe. And at last, so was Steve Phillips. An ambulance took him to Arrowhead Regional Medical Center in Colton, California, where he remains with bruises, abrasions, a couple of chipped bones, a lot of aches and pains, and something to think about.
Well, I'm going to heal. I'm going to go home, spend some time with my family. And I'm trying not to let it change me too much. I am a little bit more fearful now, I think, than I was before. I've done some challenging things in the past by choice. but this is my whole family. This is too scary. This is too real. I owe my family's safety to the couple that invited us in for dinner. And I know that they didn't know that they were saving my family by inviting us over for a Christmas dinner, but I would like to thank them on the air, if you don't mind.
Sure.
It was Kenny Foster and Chris Starbeck who invited my family in for the Christmas dinner. And without their generosity, my family probably would not have survived this Christmas.
Steve Phillips, Happy New Year to you, and thanks for joining us on Day to Day.
Thank you.
Steve Phillips hopes to get out of the hospital maybe today and begin his return to his home in Woodinville, Washington, outside Seattle.